It's Super Friday on ESPN West Palm. Presented by Twin Peaks, Celsius, the Miami Open, Bud's Chicken and Seafood, Hard Rock Bet, and Formula One. Here are your hosts, Josh Cohen and Christian Katt.
Hour number two gets underway as we are live worldwide on the ESPN app, on our YouTube channel, ESPN West Palm, and of course, here in South Florida on ESPN 106.3. It is Super Friday as we count down to kickoff of Super Bowl 58 in Las Vegas. Joining us in just a moment, a legend of the U, college football, the NFL. One of those men, the chance he got to win a national championship and also a Super Bowl. He's also a friend of ours. He'll join us in just a second. Celsius is essential energy to live fit. Celsius has taken over the energy drink game completely because made with better stuff. Because made with the good stuff and no crash. Essential vitamins and minerals, a gazillion different flavors that you love, both fizzy, sparkly, and flat options. And not just Celsius in the can cold, but also in powder form. Take with you tiny little powder sticks to have in your pocket, in your bag, on the gym, flying, on the go, always. Celsius, essential energy, live fit. And with that, we go live for the first time today to Las Vegas, Nevada to check in with a man who was a legend at the U and then went on to win himself a Super Bowl as well in the National Football League with the Baltimore Ravens, our friend Bryant McKinney. Good morning to you. Good afternoon to us. BMAC, always a pleasure to have you with us.
Hey, Josh. Thanks for having me. Small wonder.
Small wonder. It took 13 seconds for the jokes to begin. 13 seconds. I was going to ask, I swear to God, CK, I was going to say, are we going to do this nice and professional, or is it going to turn to a bus fest? What are we going to do? Turns out, small wonder, it's a bus fest.
We can turn it back to professional.
No, that's okay. When you wear green in Vegas, how many people mistake you for Shrek? Let's be honest.
And if you were with me, you'd be a little sprout.
All right, let's get back at it. We got jokes for days. BMAC, Vegas, listen, you play in the league for a very long time. You'll remember for years and years and years, as I do, the league wanted nothing to do with Las Vegas. They wanted nothing to do with sports betting. And it never seemed like something like this could happen, let alone a team be in Las Vegas. You're out there this week. It's got to feel surreal.
It does. I mean, for the longest time, you know, like betting was like, you know, very taboo and being associated. But then you have like big sponsors out here who are like betting organizations, who are like big sponsors for events out here, like DraftKings and stuff like that.
Yep.
And then to have it here in Vegas, you know, where this was like kind of forbidden for athletes is like a big deal. And it's really bringing a lot of people here, though.
For sure. Bryant McKinney joins us live on our Super Friday coverage on ESPN 106.3 worldwide, streaming on all smart devices by saying play ESPN West Palm and, of course, YouTube, where we're now live on television side. BMAC, you draw a lot of attention no matter where you go. I've been with you many times in public, and people always turn and look because you're such a handsome guy. No, you're a big guy, and you look like you might have done something of a competitive nature. I imagine in Vegas this week, there's a bajillion people that want to stop you, ask you, talk to you. Of those that do, what percentage actually know exactly who you are and appreciate and respect you in your career?
I've actually ran into some people who are from my neighboring hometown in New Jersey.
There you go.
So they did. There's a couple people who are, you know, because I played for three different teams.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I ran into a Baltimore Ravens fan last night, a Miami Dolphins fan.
Yeah.
I haven't seen any Vikings yet, but so a few have. So right now I'm going to say it's like about 60% don't. They just realize, like, he has to be because it's Super Bowl weekend.
Right.
A lot of them actually think I still play.
That, by the way, at your age, that's phenomenal. Because let's be honest, you're not getting any younger.
I don't think any of us are.
No. And the only ones that aren't getting any older are the ones that are dead. So thank God we're not among that crowd. BMAC, Bryant McKinney joining us here on our Super Friday coverage. Let's go back before we get to your Super Bowl experience, because you and I have talked about this and on the air, how it is so different. Let's go back to college, because you played on that team at the U that is widely considered to be, you starred on that team at the U, which was widely considered to be maybe the greatest college football team of all time. Remind the people of some of your teammates, some of the names that played alongside you with that University of Miami team in the early 2000s?
Well, let me start off by congratulating Andre Johnson, who was my teammate, and then also Devin Hester, who came like a year after me.
Amen.
They both got inducted to the Hall of Fame yesterday.
Amen.
So congratulate those guys. But people like Andre Johnson, you had Santana Moss, Reggie Wayne, you had Jeremy Shockey, you had Kellen Winslow, you had Sean Taylor, you had Ed Reed, you had Antrero, you had Willis McGahee, Frank Gore, Clinton Portis, you had myself.
And myself.
You had, Jonathan Thelma, DJ Williams, you had William Joseph, you had Vince Wilfork.
It's insane.
I think I say Sean Taylor. Eddie James was the year.
Yep.
I came the year after he left.
It sounds literally like you're talking about an all-time college football all-star team. And that's just your squads for a couple seasons at the University of Miami. Playing in the games that you guys did, being that team at that time, had to prepare you for the NFL and had to prepare you for the stage of a Super Bowl when you finally got there many years later, because every game at the U that you guys played in was a prime time, a national, had championship ramification type games. It was like a pro schedule for a team almost like the Chiefs now, was it not?
It was, and we also had like great guys coming back, like Warren Sapp, Michael Irvin. Like, you had a lot of those guys come back on the sideline and kind of talk to us, Edwin James.
Yeah.
Vinny Testaverde, all those guys come back to games and kind of keep us motivated and like let us know what was going on the next level and how to prepare too. So that kind of helped us out a lot too, just the whole family atmosphere at the University of Miami.
University of Miami national champion, Super Bowl champion with the Baltimore Ravens. Bryant McKinney joins us live on Super Friday on ESPN 106.3. I saw you on TMZ earlier this week. And you weren't in trouble for once. What was that all about?
I've been on there a few times without being in trouble.
You and me both.
We went on there. I went on there. We discussed Super Bowl week. Mm-hmm. And Brock Purdy's, you know, like his view, like how people view him.
Right.
And I pretty much said, I feel like he's able to win the Super Bowl. They should now put him into the elite level and stop discrediting the things that he's done. I like the kid, and I feel like he's done a great job. He's gotten him to the playoffs, and now he's gotten him to the Super Bowl. Like, so give him credit. I feel like they discredit him a lot, and I don't see why. You know, they feel like he's a game manager and things like that. Well, he's been managing games good enough to get him to the Super Bowl, so give the man credit.
I mean, you had some quarterbacks that you protected for. I mean, you had some quarterbacks. Yeah. You have Brett Favre, for example.
Dante Culpepper, Joe Flacco.
Yep.
Gus Frerotte,
yep.
Brad Johnson. I had a few.
A lot of those guys played in Super Bowls. Some of those guys won Super Bowls. But you had Kent Dorsey in college, who a lot of folks know now as the former offensive coordinator of the Buffalo Bills. Was he a game manager by that definition? I mean, there's so much talent with those U teams. It's okay to manage a game, is it not?
Oh, it's definitely okay. But I feel like Ken also knew how to make big plays when he needed to. He had a great supporting cast.
Yep.
But I think he was also a student of the game, and that's why he went on to become, you know, offensive coordinators and quarterback coaches on the next level in the NFL.
What was Brett Favre like in the huddle? We've heard stories. You played with him for a little bit there in Minnesota. What was he like in the huddle?
Brett Favre was definitely a great addition to our team. A lot of the guys, it was the best record I ever had as a Minnesota Viking when he joined us in 09. Mm-hmm. But a lot of guys, like, played for him. Like, you kind of played for him, and it wasn't even about the coaches at that point. So Brett Favre was very fun. He made things fun. He took risks. I remember when we played Detroit, he was taking some risks that game, and they weren't, you know, going in his favor. And our head coach, Brad Childress, wanted to pull him out of the game and put Tavares Jackson in. But Brett said he wasn't coming out, and Tavares said, well, he's not going to go in. And it was like a whole thing on the sideline that nobody knew about.
Because Favre says, I'm not doing what you say?
Favre said, I'm not coming out of the game. And Tavares said, well, and Brad was trying to make Tavares go in. Tavares said, well, I'm not going to go in if he's not coming out. So
wow.
It was like a whole thing on the sideline. And we ended up winning that game, and everything ended up being smoothed over.
Wow.
But, yeah, we definitely, like, championed behind Brett, and he did a great job leading the team, especially that season.
And Brian, that happens, doesn't it, where teams play for a quarterback or a player even though they work for a coach? Like, we heard the famous quote not long ago.
I'm going to say this, too, with Ray Lewis, because when I got to Baltimore, the team played for Ray Lewis, because his whole mission was to exit on a Super Bowl win, and that was his way to retire. And I feel like going into that season when we won, everybody kind of focused, and he asked everybody to stay off of social media and, like, lock in on each game of the playoffs, and everybody did so.
So let me take you back to the previous where you said, you know, we played for Brett Favre. Danny right. Amendola said about the Patriot way. He said, you know, we worked for Bill, but then we played for Tom. What you're saying, you can relate to. Expound upon that for people that are like, well, what's the difference?
You may have somebody who's a coach, but then you have another person who you really connect and develop with who you're really playing for. You don't want to let them down.
Yeah.
And it's normally going to be a teammate. So I would rather not let my teammate down, like a coach and a coach and everything. But when you get on the field and you have a great connection with a player and you just don't want to let them down. So you're going out there and you're just going to put your best foot forward, you know, every play, just not to let your teammates down.
The legendary Brian McKinney joining us live on Super Friday on ESPN 106.3, broadcasting live on every smart speaker by telling it, play ESPN West Palm. We're worldwide on the ESPN app and also on YouTube on the ESPN West Palm Play channel. It is Super Bowl weekend in Las Vegas. There are parties this weekend. You are very well connected. You have lots of celebrity friends. What are you most looking forward to this weekend for you? And this is not with Let's Chat, who you are representing this week. And this is not with the, you know, B Major Foundation, your own foundation. But for fun, what is BMAC doing this weekend that he's most looking forward to?
Maybe like a Super Bowl watch party. I'm going to Lee Steinberg's event.
I was there last year. I was there last year. Where were you last year for the event?
I didn't go. I wasn't at the Super Bowl last year. I was in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. They had flew some players out to host for the troops in Hawaii. So I did that last year.
Very cool.
So Lee Steinberg's event. They have a Rock Nation event today too. So some of those are like some on my highlight list.
Very nice. Yeah, I imagine you'll have a good time. Let's take it back in time, though, because it was 2013. It was New Orleans. It was the Baltimore Ravens, the San Francisco 49ers. The lights went out. But before that, you and I have talked about this. Super Bowl is different than any other game, not just because of the hype and all of that, but for a player, pregame takes forever, halftime takes forever. It feels much bigger. What do you remember as you headed into the stadium that day, what you felt, what you thought, and how it did seem different for you and for that Raven team?
That this is the highest point that you can get as far as in your career.
Mm-hmm, right.
This game is the highest highest point that you can get to. And it took me 11 years to get to this point. So I have to definitely seize the moment and really, you know, take advantage of the opportunity of this situation.
Mm-hmm. And then pregame with everybody singing all the songs and all of the pomp, is there a sense of like, this is taking forever, I've got too much time to think, now I'm getting nervous?
Oh no, just gives you more time to kind of focus in and kind of try to calm your nerves down a little bit and relax.
And then at halftime,
I don't mind. Halftime is long because like you're used to like what 12-minute halftime, but it's like 30 minutes on Super Bowl,
right?
And then you can hear the bass and all the music, but you can't see anything, so you just wonder. And then we have Beyonce, so it's like I wonder what's like all going on out there, like you know what I'm saying?
Well, hold on a second. You're telling me as much as you love music, as involved as you are in music and recording artists, as many friends as you have in the music industry, that you didn't sneak out at halftime to watch Beyonce perform?
No way.
You didn't sneak out?
No, I didn't. You didn't get a chance. You wanted to remain professional too, so you don't want anybody to see.
Wow. I'm disappointed in you. I'm disappointed because Michael Irvin said he snuck out at halftime to watch Michael Jackson. But Brian McKinney doesn't have that kind of leverage, I guess, to sneak out at halftime to watch Beyonce.
I just didn't want to be that guy. Nobody else did. I don't want to be that guy going out there seeming to be distracted. You know what I mean? I watched it later on YouTube.
During the game itself, does it then settle in and feel like any other game? Or throughout, there's a different vibe, a different heaviness, a different gravitas to it, Brian?
When it first takes off, like when the first kickoff, mm-hmm. like they always told us to look around, you'll see like a million flashes go off and you do. So that's very like like a surreal moment. I guess you're seeing everybody take a picture of the initial kickoff. Mm-hmm. It's like a million flashes going off. And then as the game goes on, you kind of get back into your whole mindset of just playing football. And then when the lights went out, though, it became, like, weird. Like, initially, like, what's going to happen now? How did the lights go off? Like, you know?
Yeah, that was, then, for those that don't remember, 2013 was when the lights went out, and there was a substantial delay, and there were fears of terrorism. What could this be? For you guys, you know, you got to keep your focus because you had the lead, and then the Niners had a chance to get back in it after that. But what was John Harbaugh telling you, and how were you guys keeping locked in when there may have been concerns or fears for literally your own safety?
Right. You were the first, like, 5 to 10 minutes, we didn't really know what was going on. And then he finally told us, and he was telling us, oh, the generator's going to come back on. Needs 20 minutes of power back
the
on.
The generator's like going to come on. Like it's a hurricane here in South Florida, and you're trying to play PlayStation. It's the freaking Super Bowl and the Superdome, and we got to get a generator on.
Yeah, so it had the generator had to warm everything back up to cut the lights back on. So we had to just wait. He started giving us like the 10-minute warning of, okay, let's start stretching and getting ready, and let's get that focus on the game, things like that. But for us, for an offense, the halftime was 30 minutes. We got the ball, but Jacoby Jones ran it back for 108 yards on kickoff. Mm-hmm. So we weren't on the field. Then defense is on the field when the lights go out. So that's over an hour of us not touching the field. So the rhythm kind of was off a little bit.
Yeah.
And then that's when, you know, San Fran started making their march to start coming back because they were in a little more better rhythm than us because we have been off for a whole
hour plus.
Change.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, offense is about rhythm, by all 12 people being on the same page. Mm-hmm. And we were definitely on that the first half. But it looked like coming out the second half, we were going to be back on it too. But, you know, that long delay of over an hour can kind of like just, you know, shake things up.
University of Miami, national champion, Baltimore Ravens Super Bowl champion, also Minnesota Viking, also Miami Dolphin, Bryant McKinney joining us live on Super Friday on ESPN 106.3 and worldwide on the ESPN app. BMAC, at the end of that game, it's very, I don't know who's behind you. They're very loud. Is that Trick Daddy? Who is that?
Somebody's, no. You hear?
Yeah, whoever he is, tell him.
Oh, sorry.
Take it down, notch, please. Thank you, BMAC.
Okay.
Thank you so much. At the end of that game, you got to stand on the sideline, and you got to watch Colin Kaepernick and that Niners offense have four cracks at this game. They had a first and goal, if memory serves me correct. What is that like for you, knowing there is not a lot of time left, and you're powerless and helpless to do anything about what's happening on the field? What do you remember about that final sequence?
Just praying. I hope the time just runs out. Yes, I hope the time runs out so we can hold on to this win because they basically just ate up the whole lead that we had.
Yeah, they did. So all you're doing is praying, and
this way, there's nothing else we could really do.
Yeah, there's nothing else you could do. You said Ray Lewis was like, guys, I want to retire and I want to do it on the top like this. Did he express that, or was it just kind of implied and seemed as though that would be the case, that this would be his last game regardless?
Well, the year before was supposed to be the last game, and we lost in the AFC Championship to New England. So him saying we'll be in the same position again next year let us know that he was coming back for another year.
That's right.
So once we got to this position, it was like we got to do it for him and give him what he asked for.
Do you feel like if you guys had not won that game, he would have come back for the 2013 season?
I don't know. You got to ask Ray on that. Like, well, this is my mindset on that.
Okay. All right.
Because he already came back at one time. I don't know if he's going to do it again. Like, all right.
Speaking of Ray Lewis, you were obviously, you have the connection of yours in Miami, a couple years apart. And, of course, teammates winning that Super Bowl with the Baltimore Ravens. What did you say about Ray Lewis in the Baltimore Raven logo, the mascot? What'd you say?
That they were identical.
that Ray's played there so long, he's starting to look like the mascot?
He really does.
He really does? He really does. Ray looks like the Raven mascot. And by the way, C-Cat, you're an enormous Baltimore Raven fan.
Yeah, man. Massive fan.
And you were what, 12? He's 25 years old, B-Mac. So you were what? This was 11 years ago, right? Yeah. So you were 14 years old. You were
14,
yeah. You're 14 years old watching this.
Yeah, I have a question because you were both on the Vikings team in 09 with the Brett Favre thrown across his body interception, devastation in that game.
Yeah.
You faced possible Super Bowl devastation but won that game. Which loss would have been worse if the Niners punched that one into the Super Bowl or the Vikings not being able to make it to the Super Bowl?
Definitely the Niners would have. Like,
you're right there.
I'm there, yeah.
You're
right. And we had such a big lead, you know, going in the third quarter. Yeah, that would have definitely.
What do you think happened? We've heard conspiracies and theories. What does Bryant McKinney think happened to turn the lights out in the dome? Was there a conspiracy? Was that intentional? What was that?
What did you hear happen, or what do you think?
I've heard all kinds of crazy nonsense.
You talked about like the bass on the music. Beyonce just pulled too much power from New Orleans Stadium.
Yeah, she took on a power out.
That's what I used to always say is that I would blame it on her.
That you would blame it on Beyonce?
I definitely did.
You blamed it on Beyonce. People would say, what happened? You're like, Beyonce, they used too much juice. They made too much juice in the Fifth Ward. What are you going to do about that? How often do you wear that Super Bowl ring, and where do you keep it?
I actually have it on now.
Of course you do. Of course you do. As well, you should. Where do you store that? Where do you keep that for safekeeping?
Oh, I have a safe at home.
Very good. Very smart.
And not that often. Probably like maybe 3 times a year, maybe.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. Now you know me. You know the size of my hands and my wrists. Could I wear it as a watch? Would it fit up?
Probably. Or yeah. Maybe even an anklet.
Or an anklet. Even better. You're out there promoting as well Let's Chat, which is brilliant technology. This allows people to communicate with others. And by the way, in an international world where people are like dating men and women from around the world that can't speak the language. Like, for example, C-Cat's girlfriend is Cuban. The parents speak pretty much only Spanish. He doesn't really speak Spanish. What does Let's Chat do, B-Mac, that might be able to help C-Cat?
Well, we do like we're morely focused on businesses, but we do real-time language translation as far as like websites, chat support, text message, SMS, documents. Mm-hmm. We can do actually phone calls, a bunch of things really. So, and it's based off your device setting. So we recognize your device setting. We automatically translate it for you.
It allows you to translate instantly from one language to the other, which could be helpful
Correct.
For you,
so,
CK.
I think so.
We've done like the past 2 Super Bowls in their Game Pass, which is now called, I think, Game X. And then we just did Tony Hawk's podcast recently too. So he's gonna come aboard and use us when he needs us. We're able to do a lot of things.
LETZ chat.
Yep.
That's how you spell it. All right. Get more information about Let's Chat online, as well as Brian's foundation, B Major.
B Major Foundation. I have an event coming up on May 9th, for a mental health awareness panel. So maybe y'all can have me back on the show, and we can talk more about that leading up to that event.
We would love to have you on. And I know last year I was supposed to help, and I had to fly out last minute. I had to bail on you. I apologize. Yeah. It's awful. So if you want or need my help this year, let me know. If I'm not invited, I totally understand.
No, I got you.
Either way, it's all good. Your last chance to insult me or take a shot at me, B-Mac, anything you want to fire my way?
No, I'm okay.
Okay.
Your season is over. Christmas passed, so I'm pretty sure elves going to hibernation or something.
Understood. There it is. There it is. Have a great weekend, and may you only be on TMZ this weekend if you're doing something good, okay?
Okay.
All right, Brian McKinney. Appreciate the time, my friend. Take care. Have fun. That's Brian McKinney, the former University of Miami legend, the number 7 overall pick in the 2002 draft, the national champion, and of course, Super Bowl champion with the Baltimore Ravens in 2013, the 2012 season, Ray Lewis's farewell.
That game had it all, man.
That game was wild.
The amount of storylines in that game leading up to it, it gets lost that it was brother versus brother head coaching.
It was the Harbowl.
It was that.
No, not the Harbaughs. It was the Harbowl. It was brother versus brother coaching the Super Bowl. Yeah. There was the Kaepernick thing because he was a unique player before the political stuff.
Yeah.
There was Ray Lewis's exit. There was the incredible comeback against the Denver Broncos on the Hail Mary-esque kind of Jacoby Jones wide open. There was the power outage. There was a million things going on. You're right.
It was insane. And then the game itself delivered too. Like leading up to it is insane. And then the game actually delivered. It's awesome.
It sure did. Lots more guests on the way. More Super Bowl champions on the way. ESPN national broadcasters and experts on the way. Unique stories, including a local product who, by the way, holds the record for the longest field goal ever kicked in 2 different organizations, 2 different forms of American football. And I'll give you a hint. It's not Justin Tucker. This young man, who's a friend of mine, a Disney movie is waiting. The book rights have been sold. He just needed one more piece to get all of that done. He will join us. And if you watch the Pat McAfee show, Michael Lombardi, who joins every week, he's going to join us live still to come. His new book is called Football Done Right. He's won multiple, 3-time Super Bowl champion, as a matter of fact. And Michael Lombardi is big on the gaming side with VSIN as well. So we might get some plays that we can trust him on coming up for Sunday as well. Speaking of which, C-Cat.
Get action on the game already?
Yeah, if you got action on the game, that's Hard Rock Bet, and you already know that. Hard Rock Bet is legal in Florida. In fact, Hard Rock Bet is now Florida's sports book, the only place that you can bet on sports. And not just football, not just this weekend. You can bet on every sport. Football, basketball, hockey, baseball, soccer, tennis, golf, racing, anything and everything. Live, in-game betting. Props, teasers, parlays across every sport. It is the only place in Florida that you can bet on sports. Easy to sign up. Super fast deposits. Super fast withdrawals. You can use PayPal, Venmo, your credit cards, and many, many, many more options. Bet anywhere in the state of Florida. All to do to get started, all to do, download the free app from the App Store or from Google Play Store or online at hardrock.bet. Hard Rock Bet app is clean, straightforward, easy to use. The app is simple for a first-time bettor, but also has all the features and functionality that experienced players expect regardless, like me. When you sign up, you're going to get a no-regret first bet up to $100. You heard what I said. A no-regret first bet up to $100. So here's how this works. You can use your no-regret first bet on parlays, props, overs, unders, more, any game you choose. If your first bet doesn't win, that means you will get up to $100 back to try again. So the amount you bet is the same amount that you will get back paid as a bonus bet. Hard Rock Bet is legal in Florida. Offered by the Seminole Tribe of Florida, must be 21 plus and physically present in Florida to wager. Terms and conditions apply. Concerned about gambling, call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. Hard Rock Bet, legal in Florida. We continue our coverage as we go straight to 6 p.m. It is Super Friday on ESPN 106.3.
It's Super Friday on ESPN West Palm. Presented by Twin Peaks, Celsius, the Miami Open, Bud's Chicken and Seafood, Hard Rock Bet, and Formula One. Here are your hosts, Josh Cohen and Christian Catt.
We are back live, even though you can't see us right now, on our ESPN West Palm Play YouTube. Actually, no, Stone's making his way in, so you will be able to see us. There you go. We are live, finally, on our new ESPN West Palm Play video stream where you can watch us go straight to 6 p.m. Lots of guests on the way still. C-Cat and Brother Love holding it down. Stone LeBanowitz, part of this. J-Mart. Tina will join us as well coming up shortly. And Super Bowl champion Chris Canty, who is Evan Cohen's co-host on Unsportsmanlike. He will join us at the top of the hour. Plus, Mike Tannenbaum will join us. ESPN NFL front office insider and analyst. He'll be a part of our special Super Friday broadcast. This reminder, Bud's Chicken and Seafood. If it was a home team Friday, and by the way, that'd be at 4 o'clock, and we'll still be here for that. It would be a Bud's Chicken and Seafood Friday.
Mm-hmm.
They are a big part of Super Friday on ESPN 106.3. They are exactly what you need to get and bring home for your big game experience on Sunday. I'm talking crispy, crunchy, juicy, golden brown fried perfection. And I'm not talking about just the voted best fried chicken in Palm Beach County or the chicken tenders made of USDA classified tenderloin. We're talking about the seafood. For a limited time, happening now at Bud's, your favorite, the crab cakes.
Mm-hmm.
Bud's Chicken and Seafood fried crab cakes. The fried seafood is unbelievable. Oyster dinner, crab cake dinner, single crab cakes, butterfly coconut shrimp, and as always, the greatest fried fish sandwich anywhere in South Florida. Six locations in Palm Beach County. Family owned and operated, they are the American dream. If you've never had Bud's, I assure you, their tenders are made of tenderloin, USDA tenderloin. Not just breast meat, you know, like other people fry up and call a tender. Those are actually just fingers. Bud's Chicken and Seafood tenderloin tenders. The dipping sauces, the creamy mac and cheese, put some hot sauce on it. The coleslaw, potato salad, mac salad, crinkle cut fries, little crunch, little mush, little crunch, little mush, little crunch, little... And again, all the dipping sauces. Go to budschicken.com. Order for delivery. Order for pickup. Order ahead to get set for Sunday. If you are serving Bud's on Sunday, you win no matter the final outcome of the game.
At the end of the day, it's the food that matters.
Bud's Chicken and Seafood. Bud's Chicken.com. Bud's
Chicken and Seafood. Yum, yum.
We harmonized nice right there.
Riding out to the sunset.
We did. We're going to go back to Las Vegas coming up, and also New York City in parts unknown throughout the remainder of this day. We're live till 6. Right now, though, time for the Super Bowl Jeopardy. Round number one. C-Cat tries to quiz me to see if I know anything about past Super Bowls and records thereof. And I've seen, out of the 57 of these games played, I've seen, 75% of them. Is that fair to say?
You would know better than I.
Yeah, probably maybe 80% of them. Probably 75% of them. C-Cat, question number one, go.
Name the two quarterbacks that won a Super Bowl as a starter on two different teams.
Two quarterbacks ever that won a Super Bowl as a starter on two different teams.
Yeah.
Tom Brady is one. Show me some love on that. And another quarterback who won a Super Bowl as a starting quarterback for two different teams. Wow. That's interesting. Peyton Manning.
You got it. Wouldn't you think there'd be more than two?
You would. You would, but then you go back in your head and you're like, nah, because back in the day, free agency like wasn't what it is. So the Staubach stayed and the Bradshaw stayed, and they won a bunch of them anyways.
Hmm.
Only a couple guys have had a chance actually to do it with multiple teams. A couple guys have had an opportunity to do it. Peyton Manning, though, I needed a second on that one. Manning, of course, did it with the Colts and then did it his final season with the Denver Broncos. All right. Super Bowl Jeopardy. Question number two. C-Cat.
There's only one person, one quarterback, who's thrown and caught a touchdown pass in the same Super Bowl game. Name the quarterback.
Quarterback who's thrown and caught a touchdown the same game.
In the Super Bowl.
Nick Foles. 2017.
You're on the money.
Ha ha!
Play along at home.
What's that?
You're too quick. You're too smart. We got to let the people play along at home. You know?
It's not quick. It's not even being smart. It's just recall. It had to be, right? Because he caught one on the Philly special.
Of course.
And obviously he threw one. Where's Nick Foles today, by the way? Where's he these days? Anybody know?
Jacksonville, maybe? Stone, no? I don't know.
Still in the league? 7 years later?
He's still in the league.
Stone, do you know? Stone Labanowicz joining us on Super Friday on ESPN 106.3. Doing his normal time slot, but his co-hosts are out of town. One's getting married today because what sports media member wouldn't get married Super Bowl weekend? And the other one is broadcasting FAU basketball. Stone, do you know?
Stone loves and knows ball. That's why he's here.
He's looking it up right now. All right, let's go to question number three in the meantime. C-Cat.
Longest time span for a player between Super Bowl championships.
For a player.
Any player.
Oof. So they might be a backup.
No, it's a name you know.
The longest time span. Well, Brady went 10 years. So I'm going to say Tom Brady. Who was it? Actually, no, don't tell me. Give me a hint. Give me a clue, then I'll figure it out.
We said his name on the show today.
Peyton Manning. Who?
You know, that's a great guess. He's probably second. It's Ray Lewis.
Oh, yeah, because Ray Lewis won a Super Bowl in 2001, and he didn't win one for another 12 years in 2013. So 12-year gap would top Brady's 10.
Mm-hmm.
And Manning's wasn't that long. 2007 versus 2016. So 29 years. All right, I got one wrong. I'm 2-1. One more question in this round, Christian Cat. Go ahead.
All right. There are four players that have won a Super Bowl with one team, and then they defeated that same team in a Super Bowl the following season. So year one, they win a Super Bowl with X team.
Mm-hmm.
The immediate following year, they're on a different team, and they beat the team they won a Super Bowl with the year before.
It's a really tough question on live radio. One of these was recently. One of these guys that's happened in the last 5 years. Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay, so,
It is a tough question. It's a running back that's recently.
A running back recently who won us. Yes, it was. within 2 years, right? Within last, somebody who won a game and then went and defeated the same team that they played for? Hold on. Rephrase the question one more time. Repeat the question.
There are four players that have done this.
Yeah.
Player won a Super Bowl with one team.
Yep.
Then they defeated that same team in the Super Bowl the following season. So they changed teams, beat the team they...
So they had to win it.
Yeah.
And then they had to play for the team that beat them the next year. So, like, for example, it would be a team that played... You had to play back-to-back Super Bowls. One team did.
For example, how it would work.
Team had to play back-to-back Super Bowls.
If this happened this year or last year and the year before that, it would be... They had to play in the Chiefs last year.
Winning team last year, and then the Chiefs would have to lose this year.
Yeah.
And they'd have to change teams.
They would have to be on the
49ers. Really, really tough question.
The answer is LeSean McCoy and LeGarrette Blount. Chris Long did it.
Okay, because they played with the Chiefs in 2019, and they played with the Bucs in 2020.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I knew there were LeGarrette Blount. I wasn't thinking Shady, but I was thinking, okay, LeGarrette's the other guy. And who else?
You have Chris Long, who was on the Patriots.
That's right.
Switched, went to the Eagles.
Went to the Eagles and beat the Patriots. That's right.
And Brandon Browner, the cornerback, was on the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And then he switched to the Patriots.
Right. Wouldn't have gotten Browner. Would have gotten Chris Long.
It's a tough question. I didn't want to make them too easy for you.
Right. Also, you didn't prepare the questions in advance because we didn't prepare the segment in advance. Just kind of sprung it on you.
Peek behind the curtain.
That's right. That's what we do. Coming up when we return, ESPN NFL insider, front office insider, former GM, former front office kingpin, now broadcaster, Mike Tannenbaum will join us. He's out in Las Vegas for that big game. We will have him coming up next. It is Super Friday here on ESPN 106.3.
Live from the Anna. It's Super Friday on ESPN West Palm. Presented by Twin Peaks, Celsius, the Miami Open, Bud's Chicken and Seafood, Hard Rock Bet, and Formula One. Here are your hosts, Josh Cohen and Christian Catt.
Look at Stone taking his time again to get us back on the TV side. Taking his time.
He's got to eat, right?
This music is from Ocean's 11. Nothing to me says Vegas more than Ocean's 11. I love this. By the way, Stone Labanowitz and I were just enjoying a little Twin Peaks billionaire bacon.
Wait, that's out there?
It's gone now.
Oh, come on.
It's gone.
Sucks to be you. It's gone. Billionaire bacon.
Gone, baby.
Twin Peaks. Eats. Drinks. Scenic views. 29-degree beer. Made from scratch favorites. Happy hour 5 days a week. UFC fight headquarters. Never a cover to watch any fights. Boxing, UFC, any MMA card. Billionaire bacon starts sweet, finishes with a little bit of heat. Pembroke Pines, Davie, Cypress Creek, Hollywood, and of course Palm Beach Lakes Boulevard in West Palm, the ultimate guys lodge, the ultimate sports lodge, is the incomparable Twin Peaks. And thank you, Twin Peaks, for being part of our Super Friday party and festivities. Former NFL front office executive and now ESPN multi-platform NFL insider and front office expert, Mike Tannenbaum. Always a pleasure, Mike. Thank you for taking time. Busiest week of the year, we know. And for us audio people, we appreciate you finding a few minutes.
Yeah, great to be with you. It should be a great weekend, and hope that today's special goes as well as you hope.
Amen to that. Listen, you and I come from a generation that we never envisioned this game would be played in Las Vegas, let alone that the league would be embracing and partnering with sports gaming. I imagine if you go back 10, 15 years ago, when you were a front office executive, you're probably thinking to yourself, thank God on this trip, you're not in that role this year, because man, the headaches that loom.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think both, you know, Kansas City, San Francisco, who has veteran coaches, wanted to get as much of the sort of preparation in the barn before they got here, because there's a lot going on out here.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's an energy here, and obviously there's a lot of distractions going on.
I wondered about Vegas as a venue. I mean, there's a lot riding on this one, and I imagine a lot of folks are out there for that Instagram kind of appeal. I've often said if Las Vegas were a city, or rather yet, if Instagram were a city, it'd be Las Vegas, where nothing is really what it seems, where everything is magnified, glorified, and exaggerated. I wonder how well the league will receive how this goes, but so far we're to Thursday, late afternoon, and we've not had any real problems, aside from maybe a player allegedly being bitten by a coyote. So knock on wood, so far so good, Mike.
Yeah, and look, I think what we're seeing is gambling has become more mainstream. You know, Vegas is definitely a destination city, and yeah, so far so good. And look, if it goes well, maybe it gets into the rotation with New Orleans, Miami, and L.A.
Yeah, I love Las Vegas. I skipped this weekend. I imagine it's going to be an absolute zoo, and I'm okay with that. Normally, I leave Sunday morning before the game. I do the events. I do Radio Row, and then I get out of Dodge. Will you stay through Sunday? Will you stay through the game Sunday night?
I'm going to come back on the red eye. I'm going to be doing SportsCenter, recapping the game from Bristol, Connecticut. So I'll be here through Saturday night, and then I'll be back in Bristol for Sunday.
Smart. See, that's a smart man right there. Mike T gets it. Mike Tannenbaum joining us on our ESPN West Palm special, Super Friday, live on ESPN 106.3. Mike, not enough being made, I believe, about injuries, particularly along the Chiefs' offensive line. We understand there's pieces that are listed as questionable to doubtful. This was a much bigger story when the Chiefs played the Bucs in 2021 in Tampa. Why do you believe that not enough is being made? Is it the Brock narrative? Is it the Taylor Swift narrative? Why are we not paying attention to the injuries for the Chiefs up front?
Yeah, you know, Nick Allegretti has done a really good job, so I think that's part of it. On the other side of the ball, on the defensive line, Charles Mena, who's going to be out, but you know, Steve Spagnuolo schemed it up, so look, you know, at this point, it's like it come down to quarterback play. Actually, I think it's come down to both run defenses.
Mm.
But you're right. Like, some of these injuries are significant.
Yeah. Mike Tannenbaum joining us on Super Friday on ESPN 106.3. Mike, you are an expert evaluator of talent. And when you look at Brock Purdy, he is a different player than he was at Purdue. He's a different player this year than he was last year. Game manager gets used as if it's some kind of an insult, like journeyman is to a fighter. There's nothing wrong with being either of those things. But when you look at Brock Purdy and how he runs this system, this offense, what do you see that others don't fully recognize or appreciate?
Yeah, I think it's his processing. It's his ability to, you know, see what the defense is doing. You know, Kyle puts an emphasis on, you know, progressions and really does a great job of trying to get the ball out of his hands quickly and accurately. And I think his ability to do that was underrated in the draft process.
We heard more this week about what happened when Kyle Shanahan came forward and told ownership, I think our number three guy is our number one guy. When you're the GM and you've been in that role, and you have a coach who's trying to tell you, and you just used 2 years prior your number three overall and draft picks to get a quarterback. That's ballsy, is it not, to say, hey, I think we... And by the way, how is that received by the front office?
Yeah, look, I give Kyle a lot of credit because, you know, the easy decision would have been like, hey, we're going to stick with Jimmy G. We've invested multiple first-round picks in Trey Lance, and we're going to see this through. But, you know, I think I give the credit, the dynamic between John Lynch... You know, with Kyle Shanahan, you know, give him a ton of credit. The best players play, and they could have said, "Hey, we got some costs in, you know, Trey Lance, multiple first-round picks." So a lot of credit to John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, and Jed York, the owner. That hey, let's do what's best for us. Let's not worry about the sunk costs, and the result has paid off handsomely for them.
ESPN front office insider expert Mike Tannenbaum joining us. Mike, my question for you in relation to these two teams. It's obviously a tale of two stories, two cities, one team that's been there a few times recently, the other not made up of the same core from 4 years back. But when you look at this Niner team, they're kind of getting the pass, and the attention this week is really on the Chiefs and this idea of them being the villains, America being tired of them. How much goes into taking that pressure and that attention away from a squad where maybe Shanahan and company are like, thank God, everybody's paying attention to those guys?
Yeah, that's a good point. Look, Mahomes, Taylor Swift, that's taking up a lot of the oxygen,
mm-hmm.
whether that's fair or unfair. And, you know, I think there's more pressure, candidly, on Kyle because,
Brock Purdy's contract's going to go to at least $40 million a year after next season. And, right. you know, guys like Brandon Ayuk are going to graduate. You're not going to be able to trade for McCaffrey, the Chase Youngs of the world. So, to me, I actually think there's a ton of pressure on the 49ers to win this game.
Where do you see an advantage in this game, Mike Tannenbaum, that the others are not noticing or speaking of, where you say, hold on a second, not enough attention is being paid to it? There's a, because we understand football games are about matchup, much like a fight. Where do you see an advantage in this game not being talked enough about, Mike Tannenbaum?
So I had a chance to work with Chris Kisarek, the defensive line coach of the 49ers at the Dolphins, and he really believes in getting up the field. Every play, we're going to disrupt the quarterback. If it happens to be a running play, tackle the running back and lower the quarterback. Mm-hmm. And I think what you saw with Aaron Jones and David Montgomery, who averaged over 6 yards per carry last week in the championship game, I think Andy Reid's going to really test the perimeter of this 49er defense, try to capture the edge. You know, a lot of crack tosses, a lot of, you know, perimeter sweeps and jet sweeps, and it's going to test the discipline of the 49ers front, and that's why I think this is a good matchup for the Chiefs.
We'll know in the first half of this game things are going well for Kansas City if we see what happening.
Pacheco getting at least 5 yards per carry, and if they could stay balanced, that's going to be a long, long day for the 49ers. That's what I expect to happen. I think this is like a 33-34-minute time of possession game.
Wow.
With Kansas City, you know, possessing the ball, even though Nick Allardy will probably be in for Joe Tooney.
And we'll know in the first half of this game that things are going well for San Francisco if we see what happening.
Patrick Holmes watching the game with you and I. Mm. You know, every first down they get, yeah. that's one less chance that, you know, this, the greatness of Patrick Mahomes is on the bench.
Mike Tannenbaum, you and I did an event together a couple of years ago. It was you and I on stage with Ray Lewis and Bernie Kosar. And afterward, you asked me, we were sitting at the table, and you asked me, what are you most proud of from your career? What are you most proud of? And I told you it was all the good that came from being on the air, the charitable, philanthropic that came from this. And you seem surprised by that, that it was such a selfless answer from such a selfish guy like me. I didn't get a chance to ask you the same question. You're a couple years now into this television thing, this analyst thing, beyond your NFL front office experience and career. So what today is Mike Tannenbaum most proud of from his career? I put the question you asked me onto you.
First of all, that's an unbelievable memory. Good for you. Like, I can't remember what I did 10 minutes ago, let alone 2 years ago. but I would, I would say, you know, having the ability to be responsible and you know, it was actually a tragic situation, but I know, like, being on the morning after the Damar Hamlin situation, and being on live TV for 2 hours, you know, like, I wasn't sort of like bred to be a broadcaster, and, you know, to be able to handle situations where I was very uncomfortable and come through it on the other end, I really felt like, wow, like, I can do this. And it was sort of like a, even though it was obviously an awful tragedy, internally, it was sort of like professionally validating for me.
And you learned in that moment, I don't need to be a broadcaster right now. I just need to be human. I just need to be the guy who's the father, the husband, who's the brother, the son. I just need to be human.
Yeah.
That's what
well
you realize.
Said. Yeah. Yep.
I appreciate you. Listen, have a great time out there. Get back to Bristol safe. We appreciate the time. As always, Mike, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. And a great show today. I love this live format, and enjoy the game on Sunday.
You as well. Appreciate you, sir. Mike T joining us live on Super Friday here on ESPN 106.3. Good to have Mike Tannenbaum joining us, and we will continue on with more guests, including Super Bowl champion and co-host of Unsportsmanlike on ESPN 2, ESPNU, and as you hear here in South Florida. Every weekday, 6 to 10, alongside Evan Cohen, Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty, he will join us. And J-Mart is back with more stories from Super Bowl weekend in Tampa. Strip mall adventures. Or
no,
not.
Thanks.
Or not. It is Super Friday as we roll on here on ESPN 106.3.